Lawmakers in the House Judiciary Committee are preparing for a historic vote later today on two articles of impeachment against President Trump. The first article is abuse of power, that President Trump used his power to pressure Ukraine to do him a political favor. The second is for obstruction of Congress. Democrats say the president obstructed Congress by not allowing officials to cooperate with the impeachment inquiry. The full House is expected to vote on the two articles next week. For some legal perspective, we're bringing in Barbara McQuaid, professor at the University of Michigan Law School and a former U.S. attorney appointed by President Obama. Professor McQuaid, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa.
Let's start with the article on the abuse of power, which came up a lot today. Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Chabot pointed out that this is the same article that was written against President Clinton. Chabot was on the Judiciary Committee during that impeachment back in 1998 when the House voted the abuse of power article down. Chabot said there is no criminal statute describing the abuse of power. Is that true?
It is true, but that is not relevant. An impeachment need not reflect a criminal statute. We heard from the professors last week who testified about how impeachment differs from criminal prosecution. It need not be a violation of any criminal statute to be impeachable. Impeachment is about abuse of power at its essence. It's about a president who has demonstrated that he is unfit to serve and needs to be removed from office. So that's really kind of a nonsensical argument.
Wisconsin Republican James Sensenbrenner brought up another point that I'd like you to reflect on. This related to the Clinton impeachment, also 21 years ago. Let's listen.
The important thing is that Bill Clinton lied to a grand jury.
Right.
That is a crime. The article of impeachment that passed the House accused Bill Clinton of lying to a grand jury, a crime and something that obstructs the ability of the courts to get to the truth. This is not what is happening here.
What do you make of that point?
Again, apples and oranges. Yes, that is what Bill Clinton was alleged to have done. In this instance, the abuse of power allegation against President Trump is abusing his position as president to be able to communicate with other heads of state like the president of Ukraine and ask for interference in an election and withholding military aid that he as president has the authority to do, abusing those powers for personal political gain. Very different from what President Clinton was accused of, lying under oath to a grand jury. And so when the cases are different, so should the charges be.
Could you tell us more about the second article, obstruction of justice? How is this different from the obstruction of Congress? So it's the second article is obstruction of Congress. How does that differ from obstruction of justice?
Well, obstruction of justice, you probably could call it either of those two things. I think when we think of obstruction of justice, we think of witness tampering, witness intimidation, destruction of evidence and the like. And what this article alleges is that President Trump obstructed with Congress's duty to oversee the misconduct of a president and have the sole power of impeachment by fighting all the subpoenas, by refusing to produce documents, and by prohibiting witnesses from coming and testifying. And so they obstructed Congress in its ability to learn the truth about what happened here. There was a similar article that was filed against President Nixon for similarly preventing Congress from obtaining all the materials it needed to learn about what had happened. And so a little different from the allegation against President Clinton about lying to a grand jury. Here it's about withholding the materials that Congress needs to in its role as a fact finder.
I'd like you to hear another point made by a Republican. Again, this is Steve Chabot. He made this statement earlier today.
This president isn't even accused of committing a crime. The Constitution is pretty clear on what constitutes an impeachable offense: treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. It's not treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors, or whatever else Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff deem impeachable.
Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell of California came back with this.
There are no crimes here. That is the defense my colleagues across the aisle are putting forward. How about the highest crime that one who holds public office could commit? A crime against our Constitution. After all, the Constitution is the highest, most supreme law of the land. every other law, statutory laws included, derived from the Constitution, not the other way around.
Professor, sort this out for us. How does violating the Constitution differ from committing a crime?
Well, the Constitution says that the president should take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That is his ultimate duty, the oath he swears to support and defend the Constitution. And so when he acts in his personal interest as opposed to the interests of the country, he is violating his constitutional duties. And so if for those who listened to the testimony of the professors and constitutional scholars last week, they talked about the fact that there need not be any violation of a criminal statute enacted by Congress to be impeachable. But if the president should violate and abuse his duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, then that in itself is impeachable.
There will be a House vote on impeachment. If it's a positive vote, then it would move on to the Senate for a trial. There are a number of witnesses who have refused to testify in a House inquiry, including former National Security Advisor John Bolton and acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. Could the Senate call those same witnesses to testify, and would it be any more likely they would if the Senate asks? Is there more pressure there?
Yes. In fact, it really could be a fascinating scenario. So witnesses get called by the House managers who are acting as prosecutors or by the attorneys for the president. They can call any witnesses they want. What the witnesses could do, as they have done in the impeachment phase, is to assert executive privilege or, as they did, absolute immunity and say they don't need to appear whatsoever. If that were to happen, the decision maker here in the first instance would be the judge presiding over the case, who happens to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts. He would make a ruling. Now, he could rule that, no, they are required to come testify. If he should make such a ruling, then the senators themselves have the power to overrule his decisions. The appeal, in effect, goes to the senators by simple majority. And so the senators could then rule, no, we recognize the absolute immunity and we will not require these witnesses to come testify. That would require a bit of a political hit, though, I think, for senators to say we're overruling the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So that could play out in a very interesting way.
And are House Democrats likely still looking for new evidence? And if so, could that evidence be presented in the Senate?
They could. They can really call anyone they want. They're not restricted to the witnesses who have already testified. That being said, I don't know that they will. I think Nancy Pelosi has made it clear that she wants things to move quickly. I think the Senate has an interest in moving things quickly. Mitch McConnell has said he wants things to move quickly. And then from as a matter of strategy, you've probably heard the old adage that a lawyer will never ask a question to which he does not know the answer. And the same is true with regard to calling a witness he has not previously had a chance to interview or have testify in a prior proceeding like a grand jury or a deposition. And so there is risk to everybody having witnesses come in and testify who have not testified before. So I think it's unlikely, unless perhaps House Democrats see that things aren't going well and want to throw up a Hail Mary and brand John Bolton and hear what he has to say. But it would be risky. But I think it seems unlikely to happen.
What about President Trump himself? Is there any way we could hear from him under oath on the impeachment articles?
Only if he wants to. He, unlike his aides, does have absolute immunity from testifying before Congress. It's a little different from the scenario we saw with, say, Bill Clinton or even during the Mueller investigation where a president is not immune from testifying before a grand jury, only has a qualified immunity there. With regard to testifying before the House or the Senate, he does have absolute immunity as a co-equal branch of government, and so they can't call him to testify. But as the accused, he has the right to testify if he should so choose, and so he could come and testify in his own defense. But just as a defendant in a criminal trial doesn't have to testify against himself, he would not be could not be compelled to testify.
Good to speak with you. Barbara McQuaid, professor at the University of Michigan Law School and former U.S. attorney. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks very much, Lisa.